Hi, I'm Kathy, and this is my mother, Linda.
Hello.
And this is The Cinema, the podcast where we record our walk home from the movies. And usually I do with my husband, Dave, but not today. I have everyone's favourite guest. Welcome back, Linda.
Yeah, great to be back. Feels like it's been ages.
It does feel like it's been ages. And we are going to see American Fiction, a film that Mom hasn't heard about, but that I've been dying to see, by director Cord Jefferson. Mom, did you watch Watchmen, a HBO show a couple of years ago?
I don't believe so.
It was a show Dave and I loved, and I think he was like heavily involved in the story side of it anyway, if not other elements. And this movie has got a ton of award nominations. Jeffrey Wright, the lead actor, has been nominated for those things. But mainly why I want to watch it is from the trailer, and we talk about on this podcast a lot, we don't watch trailers often. I watched the trailer for American Fiction. I think I was in another screen. I was going to see something and it popped up. I was blown away by the premise. Do you know anything about the premise, Mom?
I know nothing about it. Okay. Nothing. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a blank canvas.
It's about a writer and how he gets his book kind of commissioned in a unique way. And it looks really funny, like proper funny. So that's all we'll say about it, I think. We'll go and watch it. And then
Seen some of the cast. I love some of the cast, so I am looking forward to
and
it.
And love Issa Rae, who's in it. Can't wait.
Sterling Brown's in it.
Yes.
It?
Yeah.
Probably the only name I know.
From what's that TV show you like?
Is it Us or This Is Us?
This Is Us, yeah. So we will be back after we've watched American Fiction. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Monk, your books are good, but they're not popular. Editors, they want a black book.
They have a black book. I'm black, and it's my book.
You know what I mean.
Look at what they published. Look at what they expect us to write.
I just want to rub their noses in it.
I'd be standing outside in the night.
Deadbeat dads, rappers, crack.
You said you wanted black stuff.
That's black, right?
I see what you're doing. We sold your book.
No.
We believe Mr. Lee has written a bestseller.
It's a joke.
The most lucrative joke you've ever told.
Now, is Stagg a pseudonym?
Yeah.
Mr. Lee can't use his real name.
Is this based on your actual life?
Yeah, you think some bitch-ass college boy can come up with that shit?
No, I don't.
Right, we are back. We've seen American Fiction. Mom, what are your top line thoughts? And before you tell me them, I will qualify this episode with saying we are two white Irish people and we will do our best to talk about this film and all the themes with a great acknowledgement of the fact that we do not understand the Black American experience. Now, Mom, tell us what you thought of the movie.
First thoughts were epic. It was just one of the most entertaining things I've seen in a long time. And it had just very broad strokes. It had a huge wow factor for me. And I think, well, the performances stand out. And for me, the pace, so the direction. And I know it's been nominated for something, but I don't know whether it's been nominated for direction. But it was, oh, it was just so tight and so fast-paced and so entertaining. And mind-blowing in terms of the amount of themes that were covered.
Yeah.
So that was my first impression. I'd love to go see it again already.
I'm literally like, this film is a massively early contender for my top movie of the year. It's so clever. I think I just kept coming back to, it's so clever. It's so funny. It's so pacey, like you said. We also love stuff about writers and writing and the kind of artistic process. And then there's these fascinating layers about like what white people expect black artists to create and how they expect black artists to speak or act, and then the kind of falseness around a lot of diversity initiatives where they are supposedly trying to have more diversity but in reality aren't listening to diverse voices. And then all of that serves as a background to like this really interesting family drama, and really, but most of all, it's just a really funny plot. And I'm gonna mention the plot like from the trailer, which you'll have just heard anyway because Dave would have inserted it, my trusty editor. And basically he's a black author, he's very upper class, like he comes from a wealthy family.
That's what's so funny. Yeah. Because the irony and around the well whatever the irony around the whole well poverty experience, not just black, but that whole what he claims to be writing about or talking about, and he is so upper class. They have the maids and the swimming pools and the two houses. So,
and he calls his mom like mother. And he's like whole family's doctors and he's super rich. And he writes this, I guess, very literary fiction, and he's like a lecturer in a university, and his books keep getting rejected until one day, like as a parody, he writes what he considers a joke about the Black American experience, pandering to white people's expectations of how Black people might speak. And it like, he gets commissioned for all this money. It kind of becomes this runaway success. And it's like him grappling with the fact that from his perspective, he's extremely literary and he's very upper class. And kind of ends up grappling with his own racism, I think, because I think in a lot of ways, he himself is very angry with how certain Black people portray themselves. And I think all that is just so, there's so much going on in this.
What I would say almost, and this is, it's almost too, I'm not intelligent enough for this movie. That's what, like, the themes are so intricate. As you said, I don't know about, he's certainly classist. He's an intellectual snob. So he has all that going on within himself. And the themes are so complex. We have Alzheimer's, we have sexuality, we have all sorts of complicated themes, and he's struggling with all of them. And yet the whole thing is superbly comic. Yeah. I don't know how it was pulled off.
I think the director, and he wrote the adapted screenplay, Cord Jefferson, was based on a book, but he wrote the adapted screenplay, he's just like a visionary. I think it shows what happens when you give a creative talent creative freedom, which I imagine is what happened here. You also have like content made by the people who are taking the piss out of things in and or around their own experience, so it feels so authentic. I think the stuff around like Issa Rae is in this, who on the podcast we're a big fan of hers, and she
plays
the other Black author who,
oh my gosh, she was so
she's
good,
she's so good. And the funny thing is, he's very derisive of her work, and we see that in the trailer. But then she puts it to him, but I interviewed people, like they're real words that like Black people have spoken. Whereas he's just like, you made it all up because you're pandering to white people. And she's like, well, maybe you don't understand how Black people talk. And even that in of itself, I found like, I felt like very privileged to like witness that kind of conversation. And I feel like it's a very educational film in that sense. But I think the absolute overriding plot though is, it's really funny. He's completely taking the piss out of these white editors. The more ridiculous he acts, the more they want him. And we'll get into that in spoiler street around how much he kind of pushes the boundaries around what they're willing to do to like pander to him. It's just so funny.
And I think also before spoiler street, when you're saying it starts pushing the boundaries of what's coming at him from publishers and from external, it starts completely pushing his own boundaries. He's very reclusive, or as I was saying, that whole intellectual snobbery thing. But he starts getting forced to interact with the world in a way he's not used to.
Yeah.
So his own issues around intimacy, authenticity, honesty, they're all brought up to the surface. So this film is about everybody.
Yeah.
It's about relationship as much. It's a fact at the end of the day, it's largely about relationship, authenticity and communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And like family dynamics, like when there's been death in the family and how everyone kind of comes at it differently. So we will get into spoilers for it now. We both highly recommend this film. I think there's something in it for everyone, but I think just how clever it is and how funny it is will really resonate like with any audience. I recommend people go out and see it because it's been out for a while, so it's probably going to start dropping out of cinema soon.
Yes, we nearly missed it.
Yeah, nearly missed it. So I recommend everyone go watch it. We're going to take a quick break for Spoiler Street. You might hear an ad and we'll be right back.
We're going to actually go to Spoiler Park.
Yes.
So it might be quieter.
It might be a bit quieter. Well, no, Mum, we always record this noisy. You're just not used to it.
Ah, right.
It is
distracting. Yes. It is, yeah.
Okay, bye.
Oh, hello. Are we back?
Yeah, we're still on a noisy road distressing my mother.
We're not as close to the park as I thought.
I think we get it now that we're on Spoiler Street, we'll get into the kind of catalyst for all of this is twofold. His sister, who we meet early on, is like this incredible force of nature of a woman. She really challenges him, she pushes his buttons. And then she basically just she mentions to him that their mother's suffering with Alzheimer's. She mentions to him that their dad used to cheat on their mom, which is shocking to him. And then she just effectively drops dead.
She literally, yeah, keels over.
Shocking.
Shocking. But I want to just put something in here because for me, all the performances were standout. She had what seemed to have been a tiny part. But oh my God, it was almost award-winning performance of a tiny part.
Yeah, she was incredible. Like, I was like, I want to be her friend so badly. She's so funny and cool. And they just had this brilliant kind of sibling relationship. It was really shocking as a viewer when she died. Obviously, that happened. And then he's suddenly thrust into this situation because he's another brother, but who doesn't live there and is going through a divorce and, like, not really capable of supporting. He ends up being kind of thrust into the situation where he's to look after his mom, who's got Alzheimer's. And he's, like, realizing he has to pay for her to have, like, care, which is incredibly expensive. So that's kind of the motivation for his shenanigans around this book, which I found a very good motivation, because for him as a character, he's just so angry and he just writes this book and he's like having a laugh. He never thinks it's going to take off.
I think there was something else going on there, and I think that's his personal dynamic. He had already been put on leave from work because his attitude was appalling. He was lecturing and he was offending everybody. He was offending the staff, he was offending the students. He'd been put on leave. So already he had no work, he had no money, he couldn't publish his own book. So he was like literally back to the wall.
However, I take issue. I think the point on offending the students was actually hilarious because he had the N-word written up on a whiteboard or a blackboard, and his student, his white student, was like, the use of that word offends me. And he's like, we're talking about literature and I've gotten past that word, and like, I'm black, so you can get past it. So that in and of itself was, I think, a hilarious look at how white people try to be allies, but then it's obscene that he would have presented it as an okay word under the circumstances. And then she's like, it offends me, and she storms out. But then he was like giving out to his colleagues, and it just kind of spoiled, you're right, it completely spoiled for him. So he's already at a low base, like,
because whatever the issue was, and in that case it was with the N-word, he was provocative and he was pushing people all the time. He was going for the conflict all the time.
Yeah, he was. But I think he also was like,
he was right though.
Yeah, he's a lecturer discussing like the black literary experience or whatever. But that's why there's so many layers. It's like hard to keep up with him.
It's because he was, you know, that whole pandering to what was the expectation around literature. Uh-huh. That was the conflict in him, and he never wanted to pander. And in the end, his pandering is what turned this into some sort of a romp.
I know, it's so funny. And he's like, writes this book called My Pathology instead of My Pathology. And then it does this very clever thing that I loved. And it's funny because they did a very much less effective version of this in Argyle, which Dave and I watched a few weeks ago, which is about a writer and the kind of characters are coming to life as she's writing. It's quite fascinating to compare that to this, because this movie did it a million times better. He's writing in his study, and there's actors like acting the words, and then they're stopping and looking at him and going, that's not very good, or whatever. But it's so funny, I've seen that now. That happened in both Argyle and in this, but a million times better in this one.
That's how playwrights, they actually workshop their scripts, and they actually have paid actors. A lot of them get funding to have actors there acting out their scripts as they're writing them.
That is so clever. I mean, it does make sense. And he's kind of starts spiraling. His agent is totally in on the gag. Like, the agent is like, I can't believe you sent this to me. And then the agent's like, it's basically been picked up for like hundreds of thousands, right? If not millions. The number is huge anyway. And then the movie writes, and suddenly they're like, we want to meet you. And he has to come up with a story where he's like, oh, well, I'm a fugitive and I'm on the run and I can't meet anyone.
It unravels.
And then what was fascinating, though, is he begins a relationship in the midst of all of this, because he meets his mom's neighbour, and she's this lovely woman. She's a lawyer. And he's initially, I think because he's an egomaniac, incredibly attracted to her. I think when he realises she's read one of his books, he just loves this, right? Like, any writer would. And they begin this relationship, and as you say, he's been challenged to, like, not just be by himself or thinking of himself.
To basically communicate and be honest.
And then,
and he doesn't have the capacity.
When he pushes boundaries, like we were saying, and he convinces the literary agents, he says, you can only publish my book if it's called Fuck. And they publish it.
They do it.
That is so funny. And then he goes into her house and he finds that she's got Fuck, his book, anonymous book, she doesn't know it's his, and he loses it at her. He's like so angry that she's reading this book, And it's like, he can't accept that people enjoy different forms of art. He wrote it as a piss take, but is a good writer, so you can presume that it is a good story. And he's so angry at her, and I love when she's just like, get out.
He's actually abusive.
Yeah, he's
that
awful.
Really interesting that they actually went as far as it was verbally and emotionally abusive.
And his brother and his sister have both said it to him, like, he's got serious issues. And then you've got all the stuff with his brother coming back, who's like newly come out and is like kind of spiraling on drugs and has no money because he's in the midst of a divorce.
Spiraling on drugs and naked men.
Yeah, and like so, like, they feel so different, and I kind of love...
This is Sterling Brown.
Yes.
In an absolutely spectacular
he's
performance.
He's so good. I see.
So good.
He's been nominated in a few Best Supporting things, though not in the Oscars, but...
It's so funny. I didn't picture him in like that particular kind of comedic role. He's serious, so, but funny.
He's so serious in This Is Us. And then I kind of just love at the end the way they come together around the housekeeper's like wedding, and the brothers kind of reconnect in a really nice way. I found it strange how the sister was basically never mentioned again, other than about like her bank balance, because they're like, how are you paying for mom's care home? And he's like, oh, sister left money for her.
Oh, he's pretending. Sister didn't leave money. He made that
no,
up.
No, he made it up.
Because he can't pretend he got millions for this book that he didn't
write.
But
that's the only time she's referenced again.
I know, but you know something? It's not unreal either. There's a lot of reality going on here. People just move on. It's shocking, but...
Yeah, and they don't want to talk about it. And the brother is like... I think it wrapped up really nicely with the housekeeper and like her finding a connection. I also think it's really appropriate that he didn't end up with the woman. But then what I love...
But did he end up with the
ending,
woman?
The ending, yeah. The ending.
The ending needs an award of its own.
Yeah, the ending is like... We were laughing so much. The ending is basically like... He shows up at this award ceremony. They go to the award ceremony. Oh, we haven't even mentioned
the nomination.
The whole time he's like, he's on a judging panel. They explicitly tell him, we're putting you on the panel because you're black.
Because you're black.
And Issa Rae's on the panel as well. So there's three white writers and two black writers. They're all judging literary fiction. Then this book, Fuck, comes in for them to judge, which he tries to not even allow. And then in the end, at this scene where the five of them are in a room together, and three of them are like, Fuck needs to be the number one book. And the two black writers are like, absolutely not. Like, it shouldn't be there. And they say, and it's so pointed, it's really time that we, you know, we listen to black voices.
Whilst ignoring the actual...
ignoring the two black people in the room. And I just thought, oh my God, that is so endemic of like pandering culture and like false diversity initiatives. And like, they're literally saying we need to listen to black voices while silencing two black people. And then he's just like so utterly outraged that he's never even been considered for an award, but now this book is winning awards. Like, oh, that's a whole movie in itself as well.
It is a whole movie. And of course, spoiler alert, his book wins the prize. So we're at the award ceremony, and the question is, and this is, the question is he going to go up and accept it and reveal who he is? Because he's on the verge of that anyway, because he wants to sort out his relationship issues. He's on the verge of changing as an individual. And that's where the movie then splits into a million different endings.
Yeah.
All the possibilities. What if he reveals himself as the writer? What if he doesn't? What if he walks out? So you can maybe say more to that. But I will say, because I've recently read Matt Haig's book, Midnight Library, which is all about parallel universes and different choices resulting in different options. So it was very similar. And at the end of the day, we don't actually know how it ended.
No. Well, he said to the writer, he said to the movie director, who's played very well by Adam Brody, he said, well, what actually happened is I just walked out of the room. And then they're like, yeah, but what would have been a better ending? And he's like, he has an ending of the girlfriend showing up, which is neat, but I don't think she would have showed up.
Oh, gotcha. So I missed something.
Yeah,
so there was like an actual ending.
They're playing out.
Because I didn't know what was real at that point.
Yeah, they're playing out what would be the best ending for this movie. And then they land on, which is just, again, unbelievably telling of American culture and movie culture. And like, they end on him being on stage and the police coming in and storming the room because he supposedly wanted felon and they gun him down. And it's quite shocking. And
well, they say, yes, he's going for his gun. He actually was holding his award.
Exactly. So I mean, it's quite shocking, and like, we all understand like the levels of murder of black people at the hands of white police in America. And then they kind of play it for laughs again, because it's like an action movie, so there's so much going on where it's being played for laughs while at the exact same time being like really telling of society. And that's why I think the director and writer is masterful, because almost nobody could get that tone right.
No, it was... I can't put words on how subtle it was, mm-hmm. and how... just how clever.
And then I love that that's the ending, and then they're kind of in the movie studio, and then he drives off with his brother, so they've, like, really connected, and that's kind of where it ends. I would have loved if he'd gotten up on stage, though, and just told everyone, like, this is a fucking joke. I was mocking all of you with this book, and look what you did. It's so good. I can't unravel it. I actually don't typically watch movies twice, but I really want to watch this again.
I would watch it again and again. I can't unravel it or explain it, but there's a certain irony for me because he's been nominated for an Academy Award, hasn't he, for his performance?
Yeah.
He's been nominated for an Oscar. So it's like the whole thing, the farce of the awards in there, and now he's actually been nominated for an award for his performance, and it just feels for me like that's ironic. I'm not saying his performance isn't epic, but how do they get decided? Like, in itself, I was talking to somebody recently about that whole nonsense of awards. Who deserves an award, who doesn't? Like, he had a magnificent performance, but it was so much bigger than him. It was about the script, it was about the direction,
oh, it's always like
about
what
the pace. It's not about one person's performance.
Well, that's why... But
that's a different conversation, I know that.
And movies tend to be kind of juggernauts, whereby a movie will gain momentum and then it will get multiple nominations. And generally, like, it's kind of known about the Oscars that, like, you can only win a category like Best Actor or Best Actress or whatever if your movie's on a juggernaut and also winning other things. So, like, I think everyone's saying Cillian Murphy's going to win. Again, he's a brilliant performer, just as good as Jeffrey Wright. But because Oppenheimer is such a juggernaut of a film.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I haven't quite unraveled what the irony is in my mind, but here he is now nominated for an award. And
I don't find that ironic. I think that's just because it's a brilliant movie and he's brilliant in it, and it got a lot of buzz early on, and I think that's another thing that helps movies. Like, you'd never see a movie just get nominated for Oscars unless it's been nominated the whole way up for other awards.
Okay, I guess I missed some of that nomination. Yeah. But the end is really, it just left me thinking and left me wanting to see it again.
I know, and I want to see the movie that they're making. And then I thought, did we watch the movie they've made?
Yes, that's
so
the other
meta
question. Is this actually the movie?
Yeah.
So that was it, that whole...
I love when... my favourite scene is when he meets Adam Brody and he's, like, pretending to be on the run.
It's so funny.
And he hears ambulance sirens because he thinks his mother's ill. So he runs off. But then Adam Brody's like, oh my God, he's heard police sirens and he's run off because he's a fugitive. And it feeds into the whole thing, like, ridiculous thing even more. So good. Thank you, Mom, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And head over to thecinemile@gmail.com to let us know what you thought, or come over to Instagram @thecinemile, come over to Letterboxd, or come over to Patreon, where we are currently reviewing loads of stuff such as 90s rom-coms. We haven't figured out which one's going to win yet, but I think it's going to be I think it's going to be The Wedding Singer. I think that's what we're about to review. And we've just finished True Detective. We're reviewing Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Bye.
Bye.
We're thinking we can get it out in time for gin tea.